League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. I'm Pierce, Rob, and Chris are with me. What a weekend in professional wrestling we just had. WWE, AEW, NXT, Ring of Honor, TNA. Like, it's so much to talk about. I can't remember the last July. We're in the middle of July right now. I can't remember the last time it's been around this time. And wrestling has been this fun across the board. It is insane, man. How did you guys enjoy this past weekend of wrestling?
I thought it was great, honestly. You know, I was really excited for All In, and I was really excited for Gunther and Goldberg. And I think All In delivered. I think Gunther and Goldberg was kind of weird, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then, you know, going into Evolution, I had high hopes, I think, but I think it even blew them away. That was one of their best pay-per-views that they've done in quite some time. So yeah, I'm really excited to kind of dive deep into this here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I enjoyed the entire weekend of wrestling as well. It was just a nice weekend of isolating myself from a lot of online talk that I've already done a great job of isolating myself from in general. And I had a great time. Like you said, Pierce, it's fun across the board right now. And I think that is really the main thing that I'm taking away from this weekend. It was fun.
So we're going to go through the three main shows. So we won't talk about TNA. They'll have a pay-per-view coming up on, I believe it's Sunday. Some NXT ramifications. You got Masha Slamovich defending the TNA title against WWE NXT champion JC Jane. You have Trick Willie defending the TNA title against Joe Hendry and Mike Santana. So very big weekend for TNA, but we won't talk TNA. We won't talk NXT after their Great American Bash show. We will not talk Ring of Honor. We just stick to the two Saturday shows, which was All In and Saturday Night's Main Event, and then the Sunday Night Show Evolution. So, that being said, which show did you guys love the most this weekend? Without going too into detail about anything, just drop the show that you loved the most this weekend.
Evolution.
Ooh, it's tough. Yeah, I mean, probably Evolution. Yeah.
You guys went out. I was going to go All In. I was going to say All In I enjoyed the most, but Evolution was very, very fun, so I'm not gonna hold you. Let's start.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead. If I may, like, I obviously, I've made it, well, I guess I haven't really made it clear because I'm not an asshole about it, but AEW is not my favorite promotion. I don't go out of my way to watch it because I watch enough wrestling and I don't even watch the weekly TV shows as much as I used to, or as intently as I used to, I guess I could say. I've picked up a lot more video games. I'm gaming a lot more. Sports have obviously taken up my life also. But I just enjoyed it because at the end of the day, it's just pro wrestling. And if you just watch something, if you're looking for just for pro wrestling or whatever, that was a fun way to spend 6 hours, which is kind of crazy to say. And I was talking about this with Rob because he was telling me people were complaining about the pace. I didn't have a problem with the pace of All In at all.
No, I really did. Can I tell you, like, I was in a Dave & Buster's. I watched most of the show from a Dave & Buster's. I did not have sound. I would not be going back to that Dave & Buster's. But, you know, I felt like the pace of everything just kind of flowed very well. And I was there maybe 3 hours, a little bit over 3 hours, and it didn't feel like, I mean, obviously it was a long fucking show, don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna sit here and overinflate that. When you have 11 matches on the main card and you give them all pretty equal time besides the four big matches that you have, then yeah, it's gonna be a long show. But it really didn't feel like it, and getting to watch it back later on, it flowed very well. So, Tony probably got one with the long pay-per-view setting. But you guys enjoyed Evolution more, so let's start with Evolution and the big thing coming out of the show. I may have told my girl, I won't say may have told my girl, I did tell my girl, when the entrances were going on, just thinking about the show and being like, if they wanted to, they can go a little crazy and have Naomi cash in the belt. But I don't know. You could do that at SummerSlam. Fuck that. Let's do it now. And then she's already going upstairs to bed, and all she hears is me cackling like a maniac. I called it. Naomi is your women's world champion. Everything's good in the hood, man. The Funkadactyl's back on top. Sasha Banks posted a little thingy thing afterwards, vindicating her pretty mean sister. Yeah, man, this was, I want to say it's a shock, because I think you have to be accustomed of, when the wrestler has that chance and they're in a big money feud and a big blow-off match and they lose that match, there's a chance they probably have something, a little payoff on the end. Think Chris Jericho 2008. Think Seth Rollins 2015. This is the pattern. So, congrats to Naomi. Well deserved. She gets a split from Jade, and that can finally just have a little bit of a breather. It's also not a situation where she's cashing in on Jade, and now that feud continues. Now we get Jade and Bianca. Have that happens. But
yes,
good for Naomi, because now opens up a little bit of a competition with the girls on Raw.
Yeah, ultimately, I honestly think that this, one of the things that I thought about the next day was how this was a good move, because if you kept on the path that everyone thought they were going to go on, that they were intimating at, yeah, you would have obviously moved on to Naomi and Jade, which is a hot feud for the title, and you would likely move on to Naomi and Bianca afterwards. Which can or can't still happen. There's a draft coming up. I don't know if Bianca's going to move to Raw to follow Naomi after she's done with whatever she's done with and getting healthy. But the other thing is that by doing that, you would undercut Tiff and her reign. And I think that she has earned the right to be the top star on SmackDown. And with that title, she's gotten a lot better over the past couple of months. It was obviously shaking in the Charlotte feud for a little bit. Charlotte's actions and antics didn't help. But she was clearly in a sink or swim position. This ultimately gives Tiff more confidence on SmackDown. They had her beat Trish, which again is another stamp validating moment for her. So going into SummerSlam, in this match with Jade, I could see it going both ways. They obviously had the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring winners win last year to put that over. Will they do that again this year? Almost certainly with Cody. I think honestly it's up in the air with Jade, but for Naomi, I think this is great. She's certainly earned this. She's earned this top spot. I think that she's been a better villain than I ever could have predicted her. I didn't know she had this in her. I mean that in the most respectful possible way. She's been awesome, and I'm glad that she's on top. And I'm, like I said, the draft, whenever that happens, I'm assuming it's probably going to happen before or during fall sweeps. That'll probably change up the rosters a little bit, which, may or may not be needed. But yeah, this was great stuff for Naomi.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it was the swerve. Like, I think everyone was focused on, it being her and Jade and Bianca kind of continuing that. But, the match with Jade was enough, at least for now. They can always go back to it. But SmackDown's going to be, or it's 2 hours again now. So they had to get some of the women back over to Raw because, they kind of overloaded when they had 3 hours, and that was fine. And just kind of overall, good for Naomi because, she was part of that walkout too, obviously, and then took a chance to come back. And then, didn't know how it would work out. And she's been great. Like, this heel stuff is just untapped something in her that I don't really think that I knew that she was capable of. And it's been awesome. And I'm actually really excited for her against Io, against Rhea at SummerSlam, even though I think they do too many triple threats now, but I am excited for it.
You know, Naomi, it's very easy for people to make one thing their entire being for the duration of their career. You know, you can't imagine seeing Coco Beware without Frankie. You know, it's just an example. So for Naomi to just completely shed that glow gimmick and bring the proceed with caution to life, it's been very wonderful to see her make that work. Because other people wouldn't be able to make it work. And he would just been right back to square one and doing what she was doing and getting the crowd adulation. She's done a great job. Give her credit. Give her credit for the mood change and for the character change and for being able to get the crowd to buy into her as a heel. And let's see what she got working with. You know, you got Rhea and Io. Obviously, you're going to do that triple threat at SummerSlam, like you guys said. Do a little bit too many triple threats. You know, you got Bayley, you got Lyra, you got all these other girls now on the Raw for her to work with. You know, so yeah, let's see what shakes out, man. I'm very excited for what's to come for Champ Naomi. You guys mentioned Tiffany Stratton. She retained Women's Championship against Trish. She's got Jay next. You know, obviously, like you said, you can go one way or the other. And that's why I was kind of like, okay, well, maybe that's the title Naomi goes for. And obviously, you didn't happen. You didn't have it happen. So now you got to decide between Jade and Tiffany. That's got to have a final finish, I would believe. You know, I feel like you have to give it to Jade here. Tiffany's held that belt for a while, a very long time.
And she has.
I understand you beating Trish Stratus as a notch on the belt. It might be time for her to, you know, get something a little fresh, you know, and I feel like, you know, Jay might have earned herself a championship. But.
Yeah, because it's like, if Tiffany beats Jade, then the only person left to beat her really on SmackDown is Bianca, and then they could do Bianca Jade that way. But, like, yep. It kind of seems like you just have Jade win, and then, you know, Bianca can get her title shot whenever. You know, unless you wanted to go to Bianca and have Jade win the Rumble and get it that way, but you know that's far in advance.
If you just want to continue with them being friends for the time being and then save the heel turn mm-hmm. for down the line, I don't even think you need to do that immediately or even at SummerSlam. You know, there was no real indication in that match that said, "Hey, Bianca's ready to turn heel on Jade." You know, was they raised the hand mm-hmm. in the match? You know. Followed the rules, everything. She checked on her girls. You know, she was there as a true neutral party. So, you know, you can kind of keep playing, or even, you know, if you want to give Jay, these are two scenarios, and yes, they all involve Bianca Belair. Two scenarios: one, Bianca somehow costs Jade the championship match against Tiffany. She gets the championship match against Tiffany at Paris or another spot, because I think Stephanie's probably going to challenge the Raw Women's Championship. You have her win the belt, Bianca, and then turns out that, oh, you know, I was doing this shit all along, fuck you, da da da, and then you can get her and Tiffany, or sorry, her and Bianca, or her and Jade a little bit further down the line. I would rather you just kind of stick to, you know, how they are right now. And Bianca's putting on this supportive face, and she's going to be very supportive of her champion friend. But then that jealousy is going to creep in, because it has to creep in. However it creeps in, and you get that match a little bit later down the line. It's going to be one of those two ways, however you get to it. But I think it's clear cut who are the major players on SmackDown. It's Tiffany Stratton, your current champion. It's Jade, your eventual and the future champion. And it's Bianca, your bona fide superstar on that brand. Is she the one girl on that brand who's, like, got cash right now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, Nia, I guess, is always, like, a threat, but, like...
But they barely
use not her. Really like that.
Right, they yeah. barely use her. So, like...
Which is... Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, with Nia, like, her usage, I mean, it's kind of okay, because, you know, you don't want the the big to be overexposed.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bianca is definitely like the top star with a bullet on SmackDown. And after that, it's Tiff. And then after that, now. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Like, you obviously
yeah.
get into like the. Like, yeah, like the, they want yeah. Julia to be there. She might not be there right now. But yeah, I think they need to.
Oh my God.
When the draft comes.
How am I forgetting Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss? That's.
Oh, yeah, that's, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, they're not, you know, in the main event right now.
They're out of the mix right now. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
How do you guys feel about that little partnership? I like the playfulness that they were giving off in the tag match.
Yeah, I feel like originally I was like, oh, they did this too quick. Like, they should have had them kind of, you know, have Alexa try and convince her more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, you know, seeing it in action, it kind of rules. Like, they're going all in with it. Charlotte is actually having a good time, it seems like, which is cool to see. I mean, you know, that Players Tribune thing a couple weeks ago was really cool to read from her and really sad. So I'm glad she seems to be doing well.
I give WWE
and
here because they figured out how to not get Charlotte Flair booed in 2025.
Yeah.
Great pivot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and you know what? She might have been the best worker in that match too. She was crazy, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and that was a really good match. So I mean, obviously, Judgment Day with Roxanne Perez came through with the win. But I think it was a good showcase for everybody. Sol Ruka took the loss, and like, hey, no real loss to Sol Ruka because she wrestled what, 3 matches over the weekend, something like that. She wrestled a lot.
She did. She had a big weekend. She is going to be a star.
On Friday, she wrestled Great American Bash Saturday, and she wrestled this match on Sunday. Yeah, they got her earmarked for it, and I kind of dig Zarya too. I kind of dig Zarya too, so I'm excited for
what they're both going to be really good. This match just it worked, you know, just as a whole. Like, you know, everyone kind of got enough time to look good. I think even Raquel's been pretty good in this role lately. Like,
she's figured out. She figured out her diesel. She figured out her diesel.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's
exact.
Kevin Nash.
What?
Yeah. Kevin Nash gave her some constructive criticism, and she handled it very maturely. I loved her response to it. And she's definitely going to be out there working like a big, which I appreciate as well.
I liken it to Bronson Reed. NXT and Bronson Reed now. And I kept saying it. He's got to stop doing this thick boy shit. He's got to be a killer. He's got to be a monster. That's who he is. Now you look at him and you're like, I pointed him out the other day, how his body is built now. And this is a testament to the Performance Center, to the work that they're doing in WWE. He can still be a big, but the way his body is shaped now, oh my God, he is fucking rock solid, and I mean that with all the paws in the world. That dude's built now, and built in a way that doesn't sacrifice how heavy and how monstrous he looks. So I mean, obviously different way we're talking about with Raquel as a woman, but like she's figuring out how to work as a big, how to work as that tall, dominant, you know, person in the women's division that frankly you don't have. You got big women.
Yeah.
You don't have tall women. So, let's see what we work with that. What else happened on this show, though, particularly? I mean, yeah, Stephanie's getting her championship match, and, like, that's cool. Obviously, I just said it's more likely going to be Naomi in Paris. That'd be a fine little Paris match. But
yep.
To you guys, who was the star of that battle royale?
I think that's kind of a tough question because honestly, like, of the battle royals that happened this weekend, I wasn't a particular fan of any of them. But I did like Lash in this one. I thought she stood out to me.
She did. That was my pick.
I would say Stephanie did obviously as well. I basically, and Julia too. Julia as well. I mean, and that's obviously by design. I would say Lash, Julia, and Stephanie stood out to me.
Yeah. I mean, Lash was a big one. Like, they had her just going crazy in there. And I mean, she's ready for a call up too, honestly, at this point. Like,
it's good.
You know, it's been enough time down there. I know. Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, it wasn't long ago where, you know, she'd get her matches clipped and put on, you know, Twitter, and they'd make fun of her. And it was like, well, she's not ready to be on TV. That's kind of the whole thing. But, like, you're also clipping something from, like, NXT Level Up or whatever, which, you know. But in the time since then, she has gotten very good. And, you know, the athleticism's always been there, obviously, with the basketball background. And, yeah, I mean, I think she's ready to be called up, honestly, within the year.
I think it said something that when they cut Jakar Jackson, they did not cut Lash Legend. And now yes. Give her that space. And, like, of course, you know, you could look at it cynically and say, okay, you need someone in there that's not going to lose anything by not winning this match by being the last one eliminated by Stephanie Bakker. So, of course, you know, you get opportunity to elevate somebody. They chose Lash. They chose Lash to do it. They chose Lash to be the one to pick up Nia. They chose Lash to be the one that Stephanie had to vanquish in the end, and she looked good throughout the match. A lot of those, like, high leg kicks in the face, ooh. So she's got something as a singles competitor, I feel. I think, you know, they might be ready to finally give it a go and see what she looks like on the main roster. Let's see. But, yeah, I thought she looked great. And, yeah, your aforementioned women, too. I think they were also terrific. That is – oh, yeah, no, triple threat match. Go ahead, Chris.
That was a fantastic opener to the show. I loved the fact that Bayley emoted so much in her entrance. You can always tell she cares and gives a shit. And I think that intentionality is a reason why I'm a fan of her. But I'm a fan of all three of these girls. And as that match was going on, I was totally okay with whoever was going to win. And I thought they did that brilliantly. And then the ensuing night, Bayley and Lyra did it again in their 2 out of 3 falls match, which I found outstanding. I'm already very excited for that match at SummerSlam with her and Becky, because the last two have been great.
Yeah, I think it should be good. And the thing about Lyra in general, and we've talked about her almost every episode that we've done since she won the Intercontinental title, like, you see the progress, you see her keep getting better and better, you see her getting the fan support, and yeah, between the triple threat on Evolution and then the 2 out of 3 falls match on Raw, there were really two of the, first of all, I mean, Bayley's best matches in quite some time as well. And I think she's been good, but those really stood above.
Oh, yeah.
She was the workhorse in really both of them. And yeah, I mean, I think when that match was announced, we all had really high hopes for it, and it delivered.
Terrific match. All these girls are going crazy. I don't know how I feel about getting Becky Lyra again at SummerSlam, but all right, fine. You got to blow off the feud. It's time now. Let this be the last match.
Yeah, you give it a stipulation that's not, you know, you got to raise the other one's hand or something. Since they already did that, but give it, you know, a streak or something. And
I'd be fine match, with just
please. Oh man,
I could see that. I'd be fine with a regular one just because they have now coming a lot quicker than you think. 2 more episodes of Raw to get to. My feeling is that this has all just been about Lyra reclaiming that title. So and I think that if they're no nonsense about it, they're probably going to do pretty well. So I'm fine with the stipulation. I'm also fine if they decide to go out there and wrestle for like 15 and just give us a great finale to the trilogy. Because I think after this is going to be interesting because, well, this is an extension of something we'll talk about when we talk about Saturday Night's Main Event. I think Lyra's going to end up facing Bayley in Paris. I'm not sure if Bayley's going to get on the card at SummerSlam. I know people will have their opinions on that, but I think it's fluid and she's going to be kept hot anyway, so it's not a concern, I don't think. But yeah, I think this is all about Lyra and getting her that title back at SummerSlam. Anything else I think would be a mistake.
How cool would it be?
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, Rob.
No, I just think because, you know, it obviously, like, Becky holding the title does elevate the title. But at the same time, like, I don't know how much more you really need her to, you know, hold it and be right there when she could get back in the title picture. They could do Becky and Naomi or something down the line, which I don't think they've done probably since, you know, Land of Opportunity, SmackDown Live. So, like, that's a match you could do at some point. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Becky can put Lyra over and it'll be good.
How cool would it be for the Women's Intercontinental Championship, the first time it's ever defended at SummerSlam, is right in the shadow of New York City. And we all know the history when it comes to ladder matches at SummerSlam.
Yes, okay. I like
it. In New York City, I think it would be appropriate for this match to be blown off for the Intercontinental Championship in a ladder match.
Yeah.
I hope we get it. Maybe we don't. Maybe we do. We'll just have to.
There's a little bit of I will say I like the idea. There is a little cheekiness there also of her, like, climbing the ladder and getting over Becky. Because, I mean, yeah. Jesus Christ. Becky, she posed at the end of the match next to the Becky Hogan sign and then last night came out in red and yellow. I know she's leaning into this nonsense. It's very funny.
So funny.
But that would be cheeky if they did that, to have her, you know, go over Becky in a ladder match.
All right, let's rewind 24 hours. Same place, same venue. Saturday night's main event, the 40th in history. They didn't even build that up, and I thought that was a little bit weird. Goldberg's no longer a wrestler. He lost to Gunther. 15 minutes, 20 seconds. That is a long fucking match. I didn't think he would go that long. When we were on the second commercial break, I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. How long can he go? Yeah, and, you know, he went online the other day and complained because NBC has a hard time, and, you know, we're not sticking around to show Goldberg's retirement on NBC. So, yeah. I mean, it was what it was.
Yeah. Like, I get why he's upset. I think a thing they could have done maybe is have, like, a 10-minute match.
Should have been much.
Then, you know, you have plenty of time for everything after. But I mean, yeah, I get why he's upset. I think, you know, the Sting final match last year kind of reset the standard for, like, retirement matches. But you kind of go back and think about them, like, that's not how it always goes. Like, it went well with Flair and then he ruined it. And, like, it went well with Michaels and he ruined it. But then you think of guys like Kurt Angle, you know, Batista, we knew it was his last match going into the Triple H match. And it was just like, those are kind of underwhelming. And it's like, that happens sometimes. So, like, I get where he's coming from. And, like, I'm not one of these people who are like, oh, he should have been happy to even be there. Like, you know, fuck that. He was important to wrestling at the biggest time in the business. And, like, it was cool they did it in Atlanta. I see why he wanted his pay-per-view. But also, like, shit does happen sometimes too, and, you know, there's nothing you can do if NBC has a hard out, except, again, maybe have a shorter match. I don't think anyone was asking for a 15-minute Gunther and Goldberg match. So, yeah, I've kind of been all over the place on it. I didn't like the match, you know, on its own, but, like, all the stuff that's come from it, I've kind of seen both sides, and it's just, both sides do have a point, but, like, you know, it kind of is what it is.
Pretty much. I mean, I feel like it was also different in different areas too, because our broadcast just kind of ended at 9:57 and then there were like 3 minutes of advertisements until the local news at 10, and obviously NBC, unless you're the NFL, they're not really bowing to anybody.
Yeah,
they may bow to the NBA next year, I mean, if they run a late Sunday night game or whatever, but you get what I'm trying to get at here.
Notre Dame does not
have that much political power at NBC to be getting those kinds of exemptions, I should say. So yeah, it's an unwinnable situation, I think, and it's crappy, but sometimes that's how the cookie crumbles, I guess.
It absolutely is. You know, if you want time to vamp afterwards and say your goodbyes, hey, maybe don't have the longest match of your career. I'm pretty sure you had a like two matches that were longer than that, but like Jesus Christ.
Also, like, I don't know how much like the thank you and saying goodbye stuff is really for anyone except the people you're saying it to in the live audience. Like, obviously, yeah, the fans, but like fans kind of know what, yeah. Like, if he, am I mad because Goldberg didn't thank me on, you know, NBC? No, I mean, so that stuff's kind of for the live crowd anyway, but yeah, structure the match.
People you... in the world on NBC, like, we didn't need all that shit, Bill.
Yeah, they brought Doug Dillinger in.
They did. And Ernest Miller.
Ernest Miller was there.
That was Ernest Miller. Oh, my God. I was sitting there like, yo, who are all these people? These old WCW people that no one knows. And I know that, like, the machine told you these people don't matter. I get that. But, like, who are these people? At least tell me that, like, why these people matter. The other big story, which, I mean, honestly, to me, it's the big story because it has so much ramifications. Seth Rollins tweaked his knee again. It sucks. It's God, man. He is just going to have that issue for till he decides to call it quits. Who knows how long he's going to be out? We have not heard an update still. It's Wednesday. The recording is Wednesday night, so by the time you listen to this, it'll be about 5 days since the injury happened. We still have not heard anything. You know, he got consultation in Birmingham where they did Raw on Monday. But nothing further than that. We just know that it's not good, and he's going to be out for a while. And it seems like they're not going to have him relinquish Money in the Bank, at least yet. So we'll see what happens. But, man, it sucks, and there's definitely some instant ramifications that we're seeing on TV.
Yeah, it does bite. It does bite. He did say today, because he's subbing in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen show. And he said today that he was going to get another evaluation next week. But he does feel like he's going to be out for a bit, but there's no exact time frame right now. They're going to hold for a few weeks and try the imaging again. So he has to get another MRI, mostly just that he cannot be diagnosed properly yet. So as far as that, it seems like it's the same thing that happened to him last year against Jinder, where he did the exact same spot and tweaked his knee there. You know, that I guess that kind of is what it is. You just hope for the best here, because him being out as the central cog right now on Raw with everything around him, even as Mr. Money in the Bank, that would be rough. I think the loss for Liv Morgan is pretty rough, but losing Seth would be even worse.
Yeah, honestly, and like, it's not really something to think of, because you're like, oh, they have so many stars now. Like, if one goes down, they'll be fine. And then it happens. And it's like, we kind of saw it with Kevin Owens too, where like, yeah, these people matter. The whole show changes, and like the whole depth chart has to be reshuffled. And, you know, you hope it's not too long for Seth, because obviously, like, I imagine the point of the group at some point was to do, you know, Seth and Braun eventually, and have, you know, Braun take the group over from him. And that would have been cool, but that might be delayed now. But yeah, I think they just might not know yet. You know, he said he's waiting for the swelling to go down before they get an MRI, and that's fairly normal. You know, and they also might just play it up a little bit just to be like, you know, he has till next June. There's no rush. And then, you know, that way you can kind of do a surprise at the Rumble if he's ready, or, you know, on a big Raw or whatever. So, yeah, hopefully he's good, obviously. And, you know, he might have to change how he wrestles a little bit. Maybe stop doing, you know, so many springboard moves or whatever.
Right. Figure out a new scheme for how you're going to wrestle in the future, my friend. Because you're in your 40s now. You know, this is something you got to think about. You know, Austin couldn't wrestle the same style after he fucked up his neck. You know, sometimes you got to just switch it up. You can't be a high flyer all the time. Mike couldn't just be a dunker. He had to learn how to shoot. And learn how to just be an efficient scorer in other ways than driving to the lane. So, you know, see what's up. I didn't know he was doing Eisen for this week.
Yeah.
So that's really how out of the loop I have been, besides, like, you know, the wrestling. Anything else important happened at Saturday night's main event? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I missed the first couple matches because... Yeah, All In was still going, but I don't think. Yeah. I know They did Solo and Jimmy, which was probably fine. Yeah,
Solo and Jimmy, which I believe Jacob got involved with after or during. And they ran an angle with Drew, Logan Paul, Jelly Roll, and Randy Orton. Jelly Roll, to his credit, ate a Claymore and sold it like a champ, which is something I never thought I would say in my life. But it did happen.
People are real mad about him being there.
Well, you know how it is for celebrities in WWE.
Let's talk about All In. This was one of AEW's best shows ever. It was fun from start to finish. I appreciate it, and of course, this is just to counter WWE's counter. Going on in the afternoon, if you're going to do such a long show, that 3 Eastern start time, wonderful. Gets right to the action. You ain't got to waste your time. The first one also be streamed on Amazon Prime, which I thought was very clutch. Get over to YouTube as soon as possible. If you're going to start, like, make people pay for these pay-per-views, make them more widely accessible in this age of streaming pay-per-views. Obviously, I watched a fucking Buffalo Wild Wings, so how much am I going to be able to say? But everything culminated in Hangman on a Page getting the comeuppance on Jon Moxley, beating Jon Moxley in that hellacious Texas Death Match. I loved everything about it, man. I popped into Collision on Thursday when Hangman had his little chat with Swerve. I thought it was some of the best storytelling that we've seen in years. So to have that come around for Hangman's championship win, I thought that was great. I thought it was great that we got to see Darby Allin, and Darby Allin didn't win a championship. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank the heavens. Great to see Brian again as well. It was great. Thank you, Jon Moxley. You can go and rest now. Death Riders can kind of just chill. Obviously, you got the other three. The other three can continue to work, but, like, you know, go the fuck away for a little bit. But, yeah, it was great. Great, great main event.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, it was the exact match that it had to be. Like, you knew there'd be run-ins and stuff, especially when they said Texas Death Match. You knew there'd be violence. And, you know, they hit all the notes perfectly. You know, they had the run-ins. I think some people were expecting to see Sting, but honestly, like, not having Sting is fine because Sting's just kind of embracing being old now, which, you know, credit to him. You know, Danielson was there. Darby got to come in from the ceiling. Just, yeah, all the hits, man. And, you know, and obviously kind of like we felt with WrestleMania 40, just nice to have a feel-good ending that's also going to kind of reset the promotion a little bit. I know we talk about that quite a bit, but I think reset in this instance means, you know, it's after a long title reign, now Babyface has it, and, you know, stuff like that, not necessarily, oh, it's a new era or whatever, but, yeah, I thought the main event was awesome. I thought, you know, they did the triple main event thing, and I thought all three of those matches were great.
Oh, yeah. If you had to rank the triple main events, how would you rank them?
Ooh. I think probably Hangman and Mox, and then Mercedes and Tony, and then Omega and Okada.
I would agree. And that's no shade to Omega and Okada. It's like, they've done it so many times, and they've done it in their peaks, and now that they're, I guess you could say, out of their peaks, it's not going to hit as hard. But it's still great. They still fucking went after
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was cool as hell that it happened, like, on a big stage like that, and, you know, their entrances were awesome. I do want to talk about Tony and Mercedes specifically, because that match was awesome. You know, that was something that, you know, it's the biggest women's match I could run. It has to deliver, and I think it went even farther in solidifying that, like, Tony is the women's star over there. That's no shame to Mercedes, who I think was very good in the match, but, like, Tony's proven that over the past, you know, 2 or 3 years, the division runs through her, and it's going to keep being like that.
As it should, man. She's done such amazing work, both in-ring and with her character. You know, Mercedes has done well, done so well by AEW, and being the TBS champion, and being a steward in the way that she does, And, you know, she's getting hers by having all the other championships. You know, now's not the time for her to be AEW Women's Champion. That's fine. You know, hey, we might see Mercedes in another promotion eventually. Who knows? We never know. But, like, they had to do that match at some point. I'm very glad that it was Tony to get that win. I think Tony's earned that win, and Tony's earned the right to say that she is the best women's wrestler in AEW. And she's one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. It's crazy. It's really crazy, man. Like, you know, all of the high hopes and all of the riches that we believe will be there for her in WWE, and I still think the best thing for her was going to AEW because it would allow her to dig deep and find that character. She doesn't dig deep and find that character. She's the same old Toni Storm. Go back to what I say about you being able to adapt and Naomi having to adapt and learn to do something differently and find herself as a character. Toni did that, and she's succeeding. She's thriving with that. So, yeah, man, great match. Second, you know, best match on that card. Honestly, like, you could say, you know, number two, if it's not that, it's Swerve and Will Ospreay against the Young Bucks. Because that match fucking went. That was a great, great match.
Yeah, I actually did not watch that because I wanted to go get my dinner started. So I will have to go back and watch it at some point. I can't do the Young Bucks, and I can't do Ospreay.
I get it. Those they can each, in their own way, be four unnerving human beings, but they're very fucking good in the ring. So yeah, go back and watch. And then I know it's sandwiched in a weird spot because, you know, the match next is the Women's Casino Gauntlet, which, you know, mentioned earlier. Like, this battle royale is kind of weird. Athena winning, getting that future AEW Women's World Championship match, that's great because that's probably your next stop after Tony. I think should be Athena.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, Athena and Tony's a fascinating match. Like, everyone thought it would be, oh, like, Athena and Mercedes, and we've seen that, and it was very good. But, yeah, I wasn't even really considering Athena and Tony, but I think it's going to be awesome. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is kind of a call-up for her. She'll drop the Ring of Honor title at some point and then, you know, finally be up on the main roster. And I think that'll be a net positive for the division.
I think even at this point, you might as well just have her hold on to it. And then once she wins the AEW Women's Champion, you can either, like, have her champ it or just drop it.
Whatever. That'd be cool. Yeah, I mean, you could do that.
They got to figure out what they want to do with that side of it. They got a great women's division overall. So, like, it shouldn't be hard. You know, you got your main champ, you got your TBS champ, you got your Ring of Honor women's champ. That's, bam, there you go. Figure it the fuck out. Where were we at? Oh, yeah, you had the TNT championship match, which, unfortunately, Adam Cole had to drop the title. Gotta wish him well, man. It just sucks. He's one of the most unluckiest wrestlers of all time. So, sucks for him.
Yeah, no, it's a shame. And I mean, like, just sucks to see that happen to him because he's such a nice guy, too, it seems like. And, you know, it was a really sad moment. And, you know, you want to say never, maybe he'll be back. But if it's a concussion again, I mean, it doesn't seem like he'll be back, nor does it seem worth it. So, yeah, it sucks.
Dustin gets the big cry win moment in his home.
That was cool.
Texas. That was cool. Good for Dustin.
Yeah.
He's not going to have that belt for long. I thought it was going to be Kyle Fletcher. I don't really care much for Kyle Fletcher, but I mean, whatever. That's your mid-card belt. Figure out what to do with your mid-card belt.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Dustin doesn't have to hold it for long. He can just, you know, it was a nice moment.
No, seriously. A lot of the other moments don't match. Like, yeah, please do something with Queen Amanada. She's wonderful. You guys should elevate her. Hey, maybe that's your next Ring of Honor Women's Champion. I don't know. Good to see Big Boom AJ. I give it five booms. Boom, yep. Boom, 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 boom. The AEW World Tag Team Championship match, it was what it was. Good to see Hurt Syndicate. It's also weird seeing MJF and Hurt Syndicate. Weird and funny.
Yeah.
But this is all about the post-match. I'm mid-conversation with my girl. I'm like, oh, they're jumping him. had a feeling this was going to reach an endpoint at some time in the near future. Wasn't thinking it was going to happen that same day. But we're here, you know, and the patriarchy has turned on the patriarchy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, because there was a report a couple weeks ago that he didn't want to work with Edge yet because he was finishing the Nick Wayne thing. So I guess it's all going to be kind of intermingled. And, like, you know, I don't think that group's very interesting without Christian. I don't care about Nick Wayne or his mother or Kip Sabian, but, like, you know, I guess it accomplished what they were looking to accomplish, and it got Nick Wayne on TV and, you know, his footing. And
what did it do for Luchasaurus? You know,
yeah, I mean, that's true.
Oh my god.
I mean,
so they're doing the residency in Chicago right now, and like the Bucks are just pulled up to Aragon Ballroom, and they're driving through, like, you know, you see the fucking Chicago like houses. It's so fucking funny. Anyway, anytime Chicago is on screen or talked about, I just gush. If you've ever run into anyone from Chicago, you'll understand how it feels.
But yeah, I thought the tag match was fine. Like, it was what it was. Like, it was cool that Shelton and Bobby had Cowboys gear. And then Edge came. Like, Edge's like 15th big comeback pop since the 2020 Royal Rumble. Like, at some point, you gotta just.
He's good for is a comeback pop.
He loves it.
He loves that comeback pop so much. He's not gonna help his old friend, which I guess made sense in storyline. You can keep getting your ass beat. I'm here for the rush of the crowd, and then I'll run them off.
Well, you know, All Out's not for 2 months anyway, so I'm sure by then they'll be on the same page because that's in Toronto. So.
Oh yeah, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Well, they got Forbidden Door, O2 Arena in London, August 24th, and then I think the week later. Oh no, it's actually September 20th. All Out's gonna be in Toronto, so I like that they spaced it out. Finally,
yeah, it's good. It's a really good pay-per-view schedule, and honestly, I would. I know they're going back to Wembley next year, but I think having All in a baseball stadium, like leading into All Star Weekend, is a really good idea, and they should do it again.
Yeah, no, and the setup looked great. That looked like a great setup to prove that you could do the big stage at a baseball stadium. And it doesn't take away from anything. I didn't see the final numbers as far as tickets went, but it looked like a great crowd. They pulled off a great weekend. So yeah, kudos to AEW. I'm very excited to be watching AEW on a regular basis. I'm gonna try to do that now because, you know, it looks like they're finding a groove. So they're really finding a groove. We'll see what pays off. That is it here on Ruthless Aggression. We'll go back because we got some catching up to do in 2000. Great summer. What a wonderful summer of wrestling. Love it here. We'll catch up back with that next time we meet, man. Follow us on social media. Training camp is starting back up. Say Night to Hallis is getting into the nitty-gritty with the Chicago Bears. Exciting season ahead. I know I say that every fucking year, but I truly believe that this year. So tune in to everything Scott and Joe are doing. Tune into King's Landing, the Falcon podcast. I'm sure we'll have other football content for you. Don't think I'm doing an Eagles podcast. I'm going to I've been here for years. I'm good. I get enough of this fan base from work. I don't know if I have the heart in me to be doing the Eagles full time. But, you know, tune in to everything we got going here at the Barbershop, man. We really do appreciate it. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. This has been Ruthless Aggression. We will see you guys later.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.